All right. Welcome to the CEN Show, a platform where we learn from the world community. I'm your host, Rasaki Mascani, and on the panel this evening, we got the good doctor, as Professor Rob would say. Brother Doctor is here this evening. And we got Ernest McBride Jr. We got Brother Ahi. We got Professor Amara. And representing the Shield of Valor, we have Stephen Pettis and Jason Lisby. Our featured guest this evening is Bess Gamble Williams, and she is the completion of the three from the field of Shield of Valor. And they are a group that's ex-military.
Yes.
And also, they have a security company, and I'm going to let them talk more about it. But I want to show the flyer of their of this event this evening. So let me show that. And here it is. And as you can see, the right here, it's kidnapped and trafficked. So that's the crux of our show this evening. And they came on before and we had an excellent show with them, and I'm glad to see them back. So welcome, Shield of Valor and Miss Bess Gamble. We want you to take it away and tell us what's going on.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And hello, good evening to everyone. And thank you all for inviting me and inviting us back. As you stated, our CEO is Jason Lisby. You see him down there at the bottom there. Hopefully he'll come on the screen here in just a minute. But and then we got Stephen Pettis, our COO, that's right there on your screen as well. And so myself, I'm the chief financial officer for our organization. And what we do is, excuse me one moment, let me put her in a room. What we do is we are an investigative company and we're an advocacy group. And what we do is we advocate for veterans, we advocate for civilians, we advocate for anyone that for civil rights, and especially for our veterans who not only need help with the justice system, because our UCMJ, Uniform Code of Military Justice, is separate from the regular justice of everyone else that's in the civilian community. So what we do is we are there for them, but the trafficking side of it is has grown, as you all know, throughout this country, pretty strong. And what we're going to do now is make sure that our team is there for the children, the women, the men that are being transported around this world, not this country, around this world. And just by chance, it comes through people like my brothers here who have served honorably in the military, have three wars and three campaigns underneath them. They are also honorable Purple Heart recipients and have been nominated for that as well. So they do a lot. These are the heroes, and these are the bodyguards for your presidents, your dignitaries of the world, your sheiks. These two gentlemen, that's what they do. So everything that our brothers are doing that is heroic, this is what that white man wants. They want the glory that our brothers have. So what I'm going to do right now is that my brother speak to you all about some of the trafficking that has come through our CEO, Jason Lisby. And then Steve will tell you some of the cases that he has come across through sexual trafficking. And then I want to tell you about the population and what is happening.
Okay. Bess froze. Jason, are you able to hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm able to hear you.
So Bess has frozen, so we can move to you. Oh, she's back.
I'm sorry.
There you go.
Yeah, froze. Okay. Minute. But go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. So then what I want to do is right now, Jason, if you would, before you come back to me, and I want to hit Steven, would you please let them know some of the statistics right now and what we have had come through and the future homes and residencies for these, especially the women for my side, when they're going to be debriefed and taken out of these programs, and let these gentlemen know the age ranges for these victims. Would you please take over, Jason?
All right, good afternoon, gentlemen and ladies in attendance. My name is Jason Lismy, and if you see me looking around, I am in traffic right now. I'm picking up my granddaughter, so bear with me. A little bit about ourselves. As we spoke before, we are a security company that deals with private investigations into human trafficking. And the difference, what we're speaking on tonight, is the difference between kidnapping and trafficking. All right, kidnapping is illegally taking someone for ransom. Human trafficking is taking someone illegally for trade. All right, so there's a big difference. So when you hear someone say, oh, I was trafficked or whatever, that's a broad arena of what took place. It could have been through family. It could have been through a mule that the family owed. It could have been through, your retail services or your restaurant share services or brothel or even the hotel services. But it's a broad array, and we're not going to go into too much as far as the organ trafficking, but that's another form of trafficking as well. Also, with the statistics that they have on today concerning victims of trafficking, 75% of the trafficked victims are our own African-American young women, ranging from the age of 4 all the way up on up. So there's countless of statistics that are generated day to day through the FBI victim statistic data, and also through the DHS, through the Department of Homeland Security, with their human trafficking division recovery, the recovery unit. So what we do is that we find the victims, and we basically become what's called an advocacy for them through resources that we have come across, people that we have set up there and have, partnerships with. We are building a 49.2, I believe it is, Steve, 49.2 acre facility that's going to house victims of human trafficking. And they're going to be, it's going to be in the city of Lander County outside. It's going to be outside of Reno, Nevada, about 2 hours away. And what this facility is going to do is going to basically give our victims a wide range of resources that will allow them to reintegrate back into, society, so to speak. Hold on a second. Can you guys hear me? I'm sorry. My network's kind of acting up a little. Can you hear me right now?
Yes.
Yes, okay. We got you.
Okay. And so with that being said, we also are going to be offering aftercare programs as well for the victims that are there with the within the facility. It's actually going to be a training facility built around it, so no one knows that it's there, actually. And from what we talked to a young lady last night, it's called a stable housing, but we call ours a victim recovery unit or whatnot. And there's going to be categories of the different types of traffic victims, ranging from category 1 all the way up to a category 5. And category 5, those are going to be called NORAs, which is need of rapid assistance. And you have the JULIs, which are just under legal identifiable evidence. All right. And so what this will let us know is that if this individual is on the cusp of going back into dealing with their trafficker, because there is a level of Stockholm syndrome that happens within those ranks or whatnot. The victim feels like they have to be attached to their trafficker or their kidnapper or whatnot. And then we have those that are not sure of themselves in that particular situation, but we're going to have, services for them and advocacy services as well for them as well. So I relinquish the mic right now. I'm kind of in the middle of something right now, so I'm trying to think and get around all this traffic that I'm in. So I'm sorry that, it seemed kind of convoluted with what I'm speaking about, but let me get stationary and then we can really delve into what we're talking about.
Appreciate it.
Do it, Bible. Doing fine, great. Stephen, if you would please, you can pick up from there and carry on and let them know some of the subjects that we were talking about too.
Sure, no problem. Just as my business partner stated, my name is Stephen Pettis, COO, Shield of Valor Executive Protection. Some of the things that my business, where we're talking about cases that we're doing, we're going to be doing victim recovery here, not just here in the state of Nevada, but all around the United States and whatnot. And we're going to be doing aftercare, some of the aftercare programs. We want to ensure that the victim have the medical, the mental, the psychological things that that comes with when it comes to someone being trafficked. And then also too, medical, dental, you know, your basic and mental, I won't say basic stuff, but some of the things that's going to help them to get back to, once they readjust it as far as being in that type of lifestyle or whatnot. And then also, we're going to be having a pilot program that's going to for them to any type of career field that they want to get into, as far as like, you know, is engineering, nursing, you know, all kind of different type of professions, help them get, you know, get them some type of skill set, because, you know, especially some of them been in been trafficked so long and or whatnot, especially from a kid to even going into adulthood, is that at the end of the day, that's like kind of all they know. You know, they don't, you know, I'm not saying they're not, can't get acquire any other type of skills, or they don't know anything else or whatnot, but they've been used to that type of lifestyle, is that they feel like that's the only way they can make money, right? So what we're trying to do is want to help them have a program, want to help them to develop a skill set, so they're preventing them from going back into that lifestyle. Because, you know, we can come in and law enforcement and whatnot can come in and come in to save the day and whatnot, but, you know, if they're going back into the lifestyle because now they got saved from it or whatnot, and now some people may not think the aftercare, the after effects of it, you know, they want to live a decent life just like anyone else or whatnot. And for preventing them from going back into that lifestyle, you know, we want to create those programs for them, have them, you know, those opportunities for them, so they can develop a skill set or add on to a skill set that they may already have, or skill sets or whatnot. So because it's, especially out here in Las Vegas, you know, Las Vegas is the hub. I mean, it's the hub of trafficking. I mean, from United States to worldwide, because, you know, like here in Vegas, it's an adult, it is the way Vegas was made for, is for adult entertainment. You know, like we all know, hear the sayings that everybody say, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, Sin City. And hey, Vegas does a good job of living up to that, that name, Sin City, because it's a lot of things that's, you know, here that especially kids are exposed to and stuff like that, especially in the adult entertainment industry or entertainment, from prostitution to, I mean, you name it, you know, it's Sin City for a reason, right? So, you know, we want to help, you know, to clean up things as what's going on with trafficking, because a lot of things here in the United States, you know, they, especially here in Las Vegas, it's prevalent. You know, it's sad, not just here in Vegas, but all in Texas. I mean, we can name all 50 states this is happening in. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, our community, with the Black community, we're the main ones targeted, because, you know, they look for traffickers, look for vulnerabilities of whatnot, and our community is vulnerable. So we're Shield of Valor. What we're here to, is to change that. You know, we want to protect our community, not just our community. We also protecting everyone's community of whatnot. But, you know, our community is targeted the most. So it's a lot that goes into trafficking. You know, one of the cases that we kind of dealt with out here in Vegas, myself and Jason, someone contacted us here, and her daughter was being trafficked or whatnot from Vegas. And long story short,
Mexican border.
Yeah.
She was close to the Mexican border with the coyote. And we'll explain what a coyote and a mule is. But finish your thoughts, Steve. Sorry about that, brother.
Oh, no, you're good, man. So, you know, yeah, so she was taken down to the Mexico border or whatnot. And ourselves, myself, Jason, and some of our personnel that we know in DHS or whatnot, we record the conversation because we were in contact with the cartel, because the mother had called us and the mother was in contact with the cartel. And it was actually pretty, I wouldn't say pretty scary, because some of the things that was transpiring on how, what basically at the end of the day, how the cartels was threatening the mother. Then also the mother found out that the boyfriend trafficked her daughter. And the daughter didn't even know it, that she was being trafficked. So these are things that happen on, I would say, every day, you know. So, but I can go on about these stories, but I just want to give, you know, the audience a little bit, you know, some of the things that when it comes to trafficking, it's, you know, really in depth about it. So with that, I relinquish the mic back to you, Ms. Bess. All right, Mr. Rashiki.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Beth, you're on mute.
Thank you. Yes, so with this information and knowledge that you gentlemen are getting now, I can tell you that right now with human trafficking in the United States, they have, like this year, 1,070 defendants were charged, but how many of them, you know, actually go through the entire process? Because you got folks with money that get them off. But the thing is, we're just trying to save the lives of these people, human beings that don't have a, that have never had a normal life. You got to think about that. Children that are 4 years old, did you hear when he said 4 and 5 years old? All they know is this abuse, the sexual abuse. That's the only life they know. So how do you get someone into back into normal behavior, which they have never even seen or been exposed to? All they've had is trauma. That's a big hill to climb. That's a mountain, as a matter of fact. So by the time a young woman or a young girl or a young child is in my presence, now we're talking about the agencies and these other, our other federal agencies and associates like the FBI, CPS, CASA, and I'm a court appointed special advocate, CASA, Department of Human Health and Welfare. So those are the agencies we deal with from state to state, because remember, we're federal. So all of the states are always going to call us in to be able to take these cases. And those state cases are going to get the attention because you're looking at felonies. You're looking at criminal activity here, kidnapping. So when you start taking, then you're taking folks across state lines, it gets even more charges, more felonies, you know, and that's what's going on right now out here. And as we say in Hollywood, Florida, and then, you know, they got Hollywood, Florida, and they got Hollywood, California. And California, I mean, Florida is hot right now, hot, hot, hot. But Houston, Texas is even worse, because it's a system. It's a system. In and out, in and out. So by the time they get to me, we're talking about, as Stephen said, if they stay, if they can just stay in the program for at least 30 days, we can save them. Most, if you can keep them, I want to say 30 minutes, 30 hours. How about that? More than 24 hours, because they're always on the stressful edge about who is handling them. Their handlers are always watching them. So they have, as my brothers explained to you, there's a difference in their handlers. Those people are called mules. They have different names. They have the different leg names that they use for them, and they're not men always. Most time they're women, you know, madams, that sort of thing. And so they blend in. Who better are you going to trust than another woman? We are nurturers naturally. So women trust us, you know, but a man with a smooth tongue and a charmer, he can get a naive 12-year-old to do anything. You know that. It's just manipulation. It's like taking candy from a baby. They think they know everything, but they don't. And they always look for the broken ones. They look for the broken children. You know, the ones that the mamas let them run out here in the streets. Same with the little boys. They out here in the streets. That's what they look for. That's what these traffickers look for. The broken homes and the broken people. And then when they get the ones that are just trying to do something overseas in third world countries and second world countries, they snatch their passports from them. They're just trying to make a living. They're trying to get to America, the land of the dream. And they can't get that. So we got a lot that we're dealing with me being a former, and still am, professional model. I have a lot of etiquette skills and psychological behavior certifications that combined with the both of that, I can help these young girls and women at least get their confidence back. And I've done that. I can say I've done that with quite a few of my past clients and caseworks that I've had. And the judges in most districts would send them to me. And that's while I was on active duty. I'm on active duty doing that on my own time. But that's how much it means to me, because like my brothers, when these children are separated at CPS, and you guys are where you at, you probably know this too. When they split these homes up, where do these children go? We don't get to say where they get to go, do we? They go with a white family here or a white family over there or whoever, wherever. They just go with whoever has a home that's available at that time. So the children are at the mercy of strangers. And right now it's starting to, guess what? You get these kids that are being adopted in these CPS homes. These people are starting to pimp out the children. That's a problem. And it's a crime. It's a crime. So we have issues and struggles and challenges and things that we have to do on our end. But the kidnapping portion of it too, when people are taking you away from what they're taking you and detaining you and abstaining you from your constitutional rights, that's kidnapping. That's kidnapping. And they've done that quite a bit. And they do it quite a bit. And I can tell you statistically, with the 91% statistic rate as far as males being in this business trafficking, 58% of them are white males. So it ain't just one sided. Everybody's doing it, and they're out there. So, but the staff and all of that we're working with to as far as the Texas area, we're going to be dealing with that, and then of course the Las Vegas area and the California area where you guys are, and we need your help, we need your resources, and we need all of you to join us and spread the word, because the theme now we see that the white folks that got off of their behind and they're speaking up for themselves, the theme for them is hands off. So now we need to tell them, hands off our children, hands off of these women, hands off of these traffic. They need to take their hands off. And so that's where we are, and that's what we do as a voice, as military advocates. Right now, I know we have been catapulted as the number one resource for respect. You can say veteran or military anywhere, and people will automatically respect us, especially now these days because of the idiocracy that's going on the legislation in the White House. But they're looking for honest people and looking for people of leadership and obedience and bravery and courage. And we're better to look than the military. And we're here to do just that, to provide, to protect and serve this country. That's what we gave our oath for. That's why we wear this uniform, so that those folks have rights and we want to make sure that they are enforced. So now I will open the floor to any of you gentlemen, if you have any questions for any of us or anything else you would like to discuss.
Jason had his hand up. So after Jason, okay. After you, we'll go around the panel.
Okay.
Yes. Now, one of the things that how trafficking is what we're talking about, they're looking for the disenfranchised children or whatnot. You have a child that gets online or whatever. That's where it starts. As far as the trafficking, as far as the pedophilia, all of that stuff starts online, and it starts within the dark web. And what we have to be mindful of is that anybody can make themselves into whoever they want to online, as far as the computer is concerned. You can say, hey, I'm a 15-year-old kid, I'm a 9-year-old kid or whatnot, and I don't know any 9-year-old that's supposed to be on social media like that, but it happens. And these individuals look for, as far as the grooming process, they look for the children that say, oh, my mommy and daddy's not here. They ask specific questions.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They ask specific questions to get answers and information out of these children so that they can start the grooming process. And then once they start the grooming process, then comes the meet and greet. And after the meet and greet, then you have the problem. So as advocates for children and human rights, so to speak.
Human rights, yeah.
Human rights. Hey, we're stepping instead for these people to make sure that none of this continues, because our children are not given the proper instruction on what to do and what not to do in situations like this. And that's why a majority of our children are victims of trafficking. First pedophilia, then trafficking. So we have to be mindful of what we allow our children to do and what we allow them not to do. So I relinquish the mic right now for any questions at this time.
Okay, I'm gonna go around the panel. We have a few new people here that I want to get to first. LaKenya Hill.
No. Good.
LaKenya Hill, would you like to unmute? Just listening. Okay, I want to go to LaRonda Hamilton. Would you like to unmute? Hi.
Hello, good evening, everyone. My name is LaRonda Hamilton. Did I lose myself?
No, you're...
My name is LaRonda Hamilton, and I'm just listening. I'm a military sister of Bess. And I know Jason through Bess. I'm a criminal justice professor here at Tyler Junior College. I sent my sister a text. I'm just listening in tonight because I'm working on multiple projects this evening. So I am listening, but I won't be joining the panel tonight.
Did you say you're from Tyler, Texas?
I live in Tyler.
I'm here from Texarkana. Okay, I want to talk to you. All right.
Okay,
I'll talk to you a little later. Okay, now, let's go to Linda Shorter.
Yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm definitely here.
Do you have a question or comment?
No, I don't. It's only because I got on so too late, and I need to listen and learn more.
Okay.
And you know, I'm still here in St. Pete, Florida.
That's excellent. I'm glad you came. Thanks for coming. The good doctor. Brother Doctor, question, comment?
Oh, I just say, I just commend them on the work that they're doing. Wow, just to, you know, retire from what you guys doing and to go ahead and add, man. I was listening to Brother Jason, and Jason was bringing back some of my PTSD, man. I'm pretty sure you guys are, I'm a retired peace officer. 28 years and with the corrections, parole. I was out there in the streets doing all that task force and gang unit stuff and jumping fences and clearing houses. And part of my thing was doing all the resources. I did one of the biggest resource fairs for parolees in Pasadena. You know, I had 500-600 parolees and a couple hundred vendors. Doing all the resources, jobs, and everything he was bringing, you know, he brought back memories, man, his PTSD. And I, you know, I'm shaking down, listening to all that stuff, man, I used to do. And I commend you guys to keep doing it, because once I retired, you know, I got a bunch of coworkers that's doing all the security stuff. I see them on TV with all these big stars and movie guys and rappers, and they were always calling me, "Hey, man, come on out. We need some more big guys." Nah, man, I just can't do that stuff anymore. But I commend you guys, man, on that work. I know how hard it is. You was talking about keeping people in programs. I remember that. You get a guy into a drug program, and within 30 days, they're gone, man. And you just beg, "Hey, man, just go." You get to the point we have to just beg guys just to go for 2 weeks, just to get them somewhere for
Good
2 weeks
job
to
right
stay.
there.
And like you said, the resources, the jobs, and like I said, back in the day, I remember with the oil field, we get these guys, the OSHA training with the forklifts, and get them out there and those cleaning those oil tankers out, and they go work for 2 weeks, get a $2,500 check and quit, man. Get that first check and quit. So I know the struggle. I commend you guys for still doing that. I don't know what kind of help did you guys need. I just talked to my buddy. I just cut out all my law enforcement resources, man. I took everybody off my phone, all my LA County, every I worked at just about every agency in LA County, and I cut everybody loose, all my all contacts. But what kind of help did you guys need far as for LA or Southern California?
All right. One of the things that we have, as far as me being here in California, because I'm here in LA myself. So one of the things that we do need, we need like a foot in the door, because not very many of us, and I'm talking about any people of a heavy melanated persuasion, not very many of us are even heard, or even, even people even acknowledge that we are aware of this pandemic. You know what I'm saying? So we need somebody that's going to listen here in California. Vegas, we got Vegas sold up, so that's not a problem. But here in California, because I'm not too far from San Diego, where I live at, I'm not too far from San Diego, and this is very personal for me, because my daughter was a victim of this, and it was right under our noses. I didn't even see the signs until it was almost too late. So I'm very passionate about saving our daughters, saving our sons, saving people's children, period. My watch is not over. Because I'm not in uniform anymore, my watch is not over. When I took that oath as United States Marine against enemies, all foreign and domestic, I meant that. So just because I'm not in, just because I'm not in uniform anymore, does not mean that my watch is not over. All right, my head is on a swivel on every child that I come across. I've sat down on Figueroa Street out here. Everybody who in LA, we know what Figueroa represents. I can tell you basically every stable they have out there, every information that the task force down there, majority of, I won't say majority of it came from me, but I was on station giving out information. Making sure that, hey, if anybody I see down there that knows my child, or I know their child or something like that, I'm pulling them out of it. You know what I'm saying? So whatever you can do, brother, it will be a blessing, and it'll be highly appreciated.
Man, exactly. I mean, what? Give me the one thing that you would need. I don't, like I said. What? I don't, like I said. Exactly. What do you need, man?
Give me a contact to every law enforcement agency down out here in California.
Do you go to each agency and talk to them, or
You know how many times I got turned off, turned away? The only people that actually listened to me was LAPD. I can't stand LAPD sometimes, but I'm sorry to say it. I got a background in law enforcement myself, as far as being a federal
No,
police
I know,
officer.
I understand. Yeah, man. I mean,
But
yeah, it's I got along with, like your example, Van Nuys.
right, them.
Back in the day, man, there's one gang unit, that sergeant, oh, we got along great, but then you do a different shift, and it was a lot of, I mean, I can tell you off camera, a couple
Right.
agencies, man, I would not work with, out there in LA County.
Right.
But my last stay, I'm very well known at the Pasadena office, police office unit, whatever, back in the
Okay.
day. I'm been done for 10 years now, so I was able to get out early. But did you go directly to the
No, I talk with their vice units, and I also
Yeah,
talk with
that's what I was
their,
gonna say. Yeah, you go
yeah, I
direct
talk
to the
with,
vice unit, and they turn
yes,
you.
I talk with their vice units. I got one, now one sergeant I do have his contact, but he's all the way in San Diego, but he's part of their task force down there. So there's
Okay,
a
let
task
me
force
ask you,
between.
have you sent out something where you sent to all the vice units and invite them to a meeting or something, man? You get everybody, because that's what I used to have to do. I had to get all
I've
the
not done
unit,
that
all the
yet.
gang units into one central location,
Okay.
and we share information. Have you done that yet?
I have not been able to do that, sir. No.
Okay, that's if I was working, the first thing I would do, I'll go send out. Because I heard the video last time when I told Roski, oh, I know you guys are on. Some of the things that you accomplished, man, oh man, I wish you would have got me 10 years ago, man. I would have had you hooked up. I would
Roger
go
that.
out to each unit, man, and first thing I would do, find me a local. I'm out by, I'm near you. I'm
Okay.
near you. So first thing I would do, you okay, I would do in between somewhere between you, me and you. You said it's Temecula. They got a big Riverside, got a big place in Temecula. I just rent out the place there. Tell them, hey, use their conference room. God, Porat, they're key, man. I'm gonna talk to you afterwards. I give Russ key, give you my information, and talk to you afterwards because I don't want to give a lot of information online where people can hear certain things. But man, yeah, now you bring me, man, I don't want to come back into the game. But man, I will get what I would do is get, yeah, I will send out something, man, get them all there. So what you need a case, man. What you need is one good case that you solved or did or you working on. Because I go and get everybody, I get everybody there, man. I tell you, I get every agency in Orange, where we at, San Diego, Riverside,
Right.
San Bernardino, all together, man. To me, that's easy because that's what I used to do. I was good at that. I get everybody together, profile a couple of cases. Then what would happen, man, is when you're in that meeting, this is what happened with us. We're in that meeting. Some of those cases are going to connect. You're going to have someone from Ventura connect your case here. And you're going, oh, wait a minute. Then when that click, you're going to have the whole Southern California, man, want to come to your meetings, man. That's the first thing you do is get those. You know what? We'll talk. I don't want to go on, but I get Ross Key. You can get my number from Ross Key in the future. But if you're ever in a jam, man, where, and you know what? I don't want to say nothing else. I'll talk to you afterwards and
Roger, no problem.
offline. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I appreciate that, Brother Doctor, for sharing. Okay, let's go to Ernest McBride.
Yeah, all I wanted to clarify, like when you mentioned about kidnappers and then the mules, now, I always associated the mules with drug carrying.
Well, also as far as in situations with traffickers, you have a mule that's there along with a coyote. Now, the difference between those two is the coyote is the one that has set up the set up the meeting, set up the sort of the transaction, so to speak. All right. And then with the mule is the one that basically owes a trafficker money or something like that. But instead of putting their family, or even they can put their family in it, instead of putting their family in it, they'll go and find someone that's close to, or that's close to what their family member looks like or whatnot, and give that information. It's called tagging. They give that information to, or marking. They give that information to the trafficker. Be mindful of the people taking pictures of you as well too, or pictures of your daughters or anybody in close proximity of you, and they're giving that to a trafficker. And what they're doing is that they're bidding on this picture. They're bidding on the picture, like, okay, I can get money for this individual, okay. However, if you say that this individual worth this amount of money, excuse me, Carl. I had to get quick on your computer.
Jason, you're on mute.
You're on mute, Jason.
the traffickers are all the traffickers, there's a ring of them, they're bidding on that picture. And they're basically saying the one that is owed the money, that's like, well, how much can I get for this individual right here? This is going to be in lieu of the mules, I guess you can say, their debt, so to speak. All right, so we got to be mindful of that. So that's what that is. The coyote is the one that sets up the transaction. The mule is the one that sits up there and marks the target or marks the victim.
Okay. The only other thing, now we kind of witness or suspect something like that, who can you contact? Local authorities?
Local law enforcement. These are the things that local law enforcement. These are things that you look for too. Yeah. If a young lady comes to you and says, "There's something wrong with my car."
Yeah.
Take a picture of the car. If there's anything on the door handle, she's been marked. If there's anything on the windshield, she's been marked. Is there anything behind any of the tires? She's been marked. All right. Okay. Make sure that you document all of that. And this is why we want to, you know, do educational training, you know, endeavors with the community, especially the Black community, to let everybody know, hey, look, this is what's going on. This is what we need to be vigilant on. And let's prevent this from happening. Because like I said earlier, our young women, our women, period, our young ladies, 75% of them are all traffic victims. Out of 100%, you got 75% in a $40 billion industry. That's something that we need to like break their pockets on or whatnot. Like, you're not getting this one. You're not getting that one. We need to make sure that our children, our women, mothers, daughters, aunts, you name it, they even do it. The elderly is even involved in this. And that's terrible.
On the victim side?
On the victim side, even they're going after the elderly.
Hmm. Sad.
Very. Okay.
Let me go to Brother Ahi.
Yes, I'd like to know, are there any other reasons that these people are being trafficked outside of being exploited sexually?
You can look, like I said, there's different types of trafficking. You got familial trafficking. It doesn't necessarily have to be sexual. It could be familial trafficking. Even CPS is part of it.
Yep.
What does that mean?
Like DCFS, CPS, they're part of it.
No, you said the type of trafficking. I didn't understand exactly.
Okay, familial is when a family member traffics someone out.
You know, for what, though? For what? What are they being monetary
gain,
for?
For monetary gain, to make sure that, you know, whatever.
No, I'm saying the person who is requesting the bidding for the traffic, are they bidding for the trafficker for something other than sex? Maybe organs?
Majority of it is always about sex, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, majority of it is always about sex.
Okay. I mean, because we haven't, you know, so many people's bodies are being found without organs in them and things.
Right.
Well,
another form of trafficking as well, mm-hmm. too, organ trafficking.
Organ.
Mm-hmm.
It's organ trafficking. Like what I said last night, our melanin alone, they're trying to replicate that.
Yeah, they're trying to get the skin, yeah.
Yeah, they try to replicate our melanin. Melanin, I'm sorry. I put two words together, I'm sorry. Trying to replicate our melanin. They're taking the organs out because they're trying to figure out, okay, why are Black people so different? Well, you can't recreate what the Almighty has perfected. That's all I got to say.
And another thing, I'm sorry. But, and another thing too, is that, do you know that they have a patent on melanin?
Wow.
A patent. Look it up.
You can't get melanin. That belongs to God alone. So
white folks, that's how ignorant they are. They got a patent on melanin. Melanin costs more than gold. I didn't believe it either because I looked it up. These white folks are doing so much sneaky stuff underneath and behind our back. They trying to remain like you guys, look young. See, because y'all don't look your age. They trying to do something that only God Almighty can do. It's bottle how they stop wrinkling. I done heard them. See, I'm in the beauty industry. I know what they want. Mm-hmm. And I've been a professional model for 40 years. You know what I'm saying? So they want to look like you and Doc Rasiki. They want to look young when they get in they, you know, 50, 60. They can't, you know, because they age when they start getting in their 40s. They look like they damn near 80 when they in their 40s and 50s. That's just a fact. So they trying to bottle. See what I'm saying? They trying to bottle what you got, brother. I'm just trying to tell y'all the truth. It's sad. It's a sad thing. And then their skin burns easily. They get all the skin cancers, but then they want to try to tell you that we do. No, we don't. The sun, that's what we love. Our skin loves the sun. The sun does not is not favorable to their skin. You see all them little rickets on their skin. You see the women get all them spots on their on hands and stuff. We don't get that. You see that blood, the blue veins come through there popping. We don't get that because we have melanin. God has kissed us with a beautiful thing called black skin, beautiful melanin. So the ones that do tan, they're blessed because they got melanin. That's when I know they got black in them. You understand where I'm coming from? So when they can tan, let them know, oh, we know you got your black in you. We know you can tan. See, they ain't got to go. And that's when they want to. What you talking about? Yeah, I know you got black in you because your hair is curling up. You don't get them curls without some blackness in you. You just don't.
Thank you. You answered my question. Thank you.
Brother Machinda.
And it takes a woman like me to tell them because I'm in the beauty industry. I know what you're trying to do. I don't want to look like y'all ugly ass European women. Y'all trying to look like us. You used to laugh at my damn lips. You used to laugh at my damn titties in my ass. Now I can't stop you from going to the damn store. Can I get some of that? Can I have some of that ass? Can you give me two of them right there? It used to say it takes two hands to handle a whopper. You damn right it does. Mm-mm. And it's in the black community. That's where it is. It ain't in the white community. Because if you got two teeny widows, you get two fingerfuls, okay? Our men love handful. That's what they love. And we've always had it.
Yeah, I see no.
All right, Miss Beth, let's move on. Brother
Machinda. That organ, that's the melanin, I'm telling you, they will. And organ transport, that's why they're trying to steal from our bodies, trying to figure it out.
Brother Machinda, you want to unmute? I guess Brother Machinda's. Okay, let's go to Professor Ra. Can you unmute Professor Ra?
Yeah. Right. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I've already gotten to everybody online. I just want to go over a few things. First of all, I want to thank each and every one of you veterans for your service, being in the military and being, ready to serve in an honorable way and then come out with your right minds and trying to do things to help the community. Appreciate all of that. So now in your service to the United States military area where each of you were in, but also your service to the community by dealing with trafficking. And that's a challenge within itself. The issue is, I wanna know, how long have y'all been operating?
For 5 years, sir.
Five years?
Since 2021. August 5th of this year, we'll be year number five for us.
Okay, then. Then second, you know, when you dealing with youth from four, you say, and up, are these runaways and people contract you to try to find them? Or are these are just people that you just go to hot spots and try to identify young people and try to talk to them and find out why they're out there and then make them clients? What I'm trying to do is find out how do you determine what kids are being trafficked in, because you got, like in Vegas, let's say in Vegas, prostitution is a serious profession there. It's from call girls to the ranches, where, and all that. And then at the same time, a lot of people work the casino floors, and women and things of nature, and they may be using some of these young girls to do that. But my point is, how do you identify? Do a parent call you, or are you looking for somebody specific, or are you looking for people being trafficked in general, or both?
It could be a broad range, sir. Basically, we'll probably go like do face-to-face talk. You know what I'm saying? Now, you see a child that's out, you definitely gonna question that. Like, why are you look young enough to be my child? Why are you out here? As far as the toddlers are concerned, that's a very, how can I say? That is a very, very hard situation, because you gotta look at the fact of them being with either CPS or CPS, or they're with someone that you know that you normally wouldn't see them with. So it's best to start asking questions. You don't want to assume or anything like that, but it's best to start asking questions.
Yeah, right. But see, like one of the brothers said, that, you know, about Slauson and Figueroa. I'm from Watch Compton, area, and I came up in those areas. My point is that, you know, the sexual work that some of these young women are doing, they don't even have pimps. I mean, they're doing it for their families. They're doing it for, it's easy employment.
We're doing it for the thrill of it.
Well, there's different reasons why young girls are out there. And I'm trying to figure out, when you say trafficking, I'm thinking about somebody getting them and taking them to work and be exploited, versus you see what I'm saying, working and right. exploited, not just in sex, but also in sweatshops and also in fields where they work, farmers, farmers and things.
That's a form of trafficking too.
Yeah, that's what I mean, that's what I'm saying. So I'm trying to get an understanding of how do you determine if a person's being trafficked. I understand, even if at the age, you said sometimes the parents may sell them, turn them over. It's a very complicated profession you're in.
Right.
And so you can't arrest the person that's exploiting them. You have to call law enforcement.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken. And at the same time, you're risking your life, because some of the people doing the trafficking, like you said, some of them are organized crime, some of them are coyotes and things of this nature, but some of them are gang members, and some of them are violent. And so I'm just trying to get an understanding of how you do the work you're doing with all that congestion, because this is a big field. And when you're talking about trafficking, human trafficking, that's a big field. This country's been doing that since it became in existence. I think we were the first one of the first kidnapped and brought here and exploited for hundreds of years. Of free labor, so we're a whole nation, a community of people being that were trafficked. Most immigrants come here voluntarily to chase some illusion of a dream that they can reach, but and some of them may get comfortable in their oppression and their roots. But what I'm trying to find out is how do you operate and be able to successfully rescue someone and put them in a program.
All right, to answer your question about, right, let's say, for instance, they're here to work in the fields, strawberry fields, orchards, or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Majority of the time, they're going to be working. Now, what's a typical work day for someone? It's a 9-to-5, right?
Yeah, 8 hours,
About 8 hours.
That's a lot.
You have these people working out there for 16 hours for next to nothing, living in a home that pretty much everybody shares everything. Then you got an individual that goes to that home, take their passports, take every document that they have that shows who that identifies who they are from the time of birth up until now, promising them that, hey, I'm going to get you a visa, I'm going to get you a good passport, I'm going to get you a new life or something like that. But these people are holding on to those documents until these people finish working off something that they need worked off.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You got somebody that'll start answering for somebody. If you ask them a question, then you have an individual come in and start asking, you know, answering the questions that you're asking them. Now, we know there's a language barrier or whatnot, but say, for instance, you know the language and you start conversating with the person, but someone else comes in, interjects pretty much throughout the whole conversation. That's the trafficker.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's how you find out. Like we said, you start asking questions.
Yeah, okay.
You start asking questions, and then you start getting your answer. Okay, something is off about this.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Anybody with the sense that God gave them, you could tell, okay, something's off about this right here.
Yeah.
This individual right here, you kind of get working that nerve right now. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to this individual, but they're asking or answering all the questions that you're asking the individual that you're concerned about. Okay. That's your trafficker right there.
Okay. I need two more quick questions.
Okay.
Are y'all funded or are you just doing it on your own? Or
we're doing it on our own.
We're doing it on our own right now. We need
resources. That's expensive work traveling.
It is.
And surveillance and all of that, you know, it's not easy.
It helps when you got your own equipment.
Well, even if you got your own equipment, it's expensive. You have to buy the equipment.
Right.
So the second thing is, when you say you got programs for them, when you have programs for them, are you working with? Do y'all have relationships with people that have the program that you can refer people to?
Absolutely.
Steve can answer this question because he works around, he lives in Las Vegas, and that's the majority of our, I guess you could say our clientele. So Steve, you can answer this question right here.
Yeah, we definitely connect with other resources or organizations that maybe do something similar or line up, or they can maybe a resource that we don't even have ourselves overnight. So we're connecting with a couple of other organizations, actually tomorrow, there's a Christian human trafficking seminar that I'm going to be attending as well, connecting with people with that. And then, so there's different organizations that we're connecting with, not just here in Vegas, Texas, some people in Atlanta, you know. So because this is statewide, I mean nationwide, ain't from nation to international.
Because people think Vegas is just the lights, but they got communities in Vegas.
No.
And Henderson and all through that, you know, all Fremont, you know, south, east, or whatever Vegas.
Start going underground.
They're predominantly Black, and I mean, they live a different lifestyle out there. They're not in the casino, you know. So that's about it. I want to commend you on your work and hope that you will continue to do it and get the resources. And as the good doctor said, whatever we can do to try to assist you. I know people in Vegas. I know people in L.A. and things of this nature as a former professor. So. Just hope that we can be of service to you. This will be on YouTube for people that want to know about your organization. You can, as you know from your last trip, so we'll get with you. So I just want to thank you all again for your service to the military as well as to our community.
Thank you, sir. We really appreciate you because we need people like you out there, other professors and the other gentlemen that definitely was law enforcement. Yeah, you got to come out of retirement. They pulled me out of retirement. They got to pull you out of retirement. How about that?
Yeah. And to answer your question, you know, the target range is there's so many, I want to say, different forms of trafficking, right? Just one example that we said earlier, the military trafficking. We think, you know, I'm not saying we, but sometimes is like when we think of trafficking, we're thinking like, okay, a pimp out on the street, prostitution. Nah, that's just an eighth of it, right? Mm-hmm. Now you're talking about getting things on a corporate level, professional level. Mm-hmm. Not these corporations are doing trafficking. That's why it's different, so many forms of it. And people don't, you know, that's why I want to break it down to situations as, okay.
Yeah.
And a lot, all of it's connected, you know, from the streets to the, honestly, I'm going to say the corporations, they're doing the same thing the pimps are doing.
Yeah.
They just got the money to cover it up, got legal defenses and get people, pay people off and hide, you know, get all kind of things built and make it harder for them to find. A pimp, hey, he or she is more upfront with it. They're out in, you know, they don't may not necessarily have the money as someone on a big corporate level got billions of dollars that have that protection, that legal and physical protection, you know, or whatnot. And they connect, the corporations connect with the pimps.
Yep.
So, you know, and it's all not just corporations, it gets into government, it gets to CPS, adoption agencies,
schools,
teachers, doctors, lawyers. Excuse my language, but there was a case, I think about a year or so ago, actually they caught a lawyer out here in Las Vegas that was caught up in a human trafficking ring. And he was well known, making millions of dollars, well known lawyer here out in Las Vegas. So it's not just out here on these streets, you know, that's doing this trafficking. It's just on a whole different level now.
You're right about that. And remember the one that had with the school. Think about that, guys. On the school campus, you got the principal pimping out the children. That's real. And the school grounds. And if it hadn't been for one of the mothers, and then they tried to all the school and the teachers that were involved in it, since they were part of that, they were trying to get the teacher fired. But thank God, you know, they had great investigators on the scene, like our company wasn't a part of it, but they had companies like ours that went deeper and revealed the facts. And it was the principal and some of her teachers in there pimping out the girls. You know, the fine ones with the dresses and the dreads. They pick them out in school and then pimp them out. It happens every day.
Man, that's sad. LaRonda, did you have a question?
No.
Okay. So, Brother Ahi asked about, he said, "What is Diddy a pimp?"
He's considered a mule.
A mule. Okay.
Yeah, he'll be considered a mule.
Oh.
Yeah, Diddy will be considered a mule. There's something a lot bigger than him.
Mm-hmm.
There's something a lot bigger than him. I'm not going to go into detail about it because I do have information on that, but due to confidentiality, I can't say nothing about it.
But remember, he's a bodyguard to all those people out there, Rice Seeker. Remember, our brothers bodyguard those people, him and Stephen. Remember, they bodyguard all of those celebrities out there. So, just FYI. That's just FYI for you.
Yeah, it's something much bigger, but I'm not going to go into detail about that. But we could talk offline about that.
But it's okay, so now we had somebody come in at maybe about 10 minutes ago, Lenore. Lenore, did you have a question or a comment on what you heard? Or did you want to know something about the topic this evening, which is the difference between trafficking and kidnapping?
Hey, how y'all doing tonight? I'm sorry, I popped in late. A friend of mine told me this was on and I popped in late. I am actually a LPC and I work with women who are being trafficked.
Wonderful.
So she kind of tagged me onto this and I was kind of listening and I just enjoy what I've heard so far. So it is a big deal, and I don't think people realize how big of a deal it is, but it is. It's serious and it's on all levels.
We should work together.
We need you, Miss Lenore. We need you.
Well, hey, I'm ready. Let me know.
All right, Rasiki, okay, you got to get all of these names for us tonight.
Okay, so what we'll do at when we stop the recording, Lenore, just please stay on so we can talk about, you know, exchanging information.
Yes, sir, I will do.
Okay, appreciate you. Thanks for coming. So, Bess, would you like to close us out this evening?
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is a wonderful topic. And I wanted to make sure I let you know, too, my sister there, LaRonda Hamilton, she's a Navy veteran. She's also, as I said, a professor at Tyler College. And I know you're going to speak with her, and I want you to. But she also has a branch there, and I want to start a branch out there where you all are, the East Texas Association of Blacks in Criminal Justice. Did I say that right, sis? Okay.
You close. National Association of Blacks in Criminal Justice.
There you go. Okay. National Association. And she has a branch there. It's all comprised of, and I'll let her tell you who they are, and then I want to close it out, because I do want you to know about this organization, because we need to have branches of this in every county if we can. Go ahead, LaRonda.
Absolutely. It is a national organization that all 50 states are represented. I started the East Texas NAPTA chapter in 2020 after I relocated here to Tyler from Texarkana because of little representation of African-Americans within the law enforcement system. So my organization consists of police officers, attorneys, the city of Tyler attorney, parole, probation, community leaders. It is an organization that focuses on educating the community about the criminal justice system. Some areas also have a student chapter. I've been trying to get a student chapter chartered here at Texas College. I just need to find someone who is serious and interested in getting 12 students to get the chapter started so we can do some work around here. I know Bess is looking forward to getting one started in Texarkana. We only have 3 chapters in Texas, and that's one in Dallas, one in Fort Worth, one in Houston, and mine here in Tyler. So we'd absolutely love to help any area get one chartered. You only need 12 members to get it started. And it's an easy process of getting your organization chartered. Our national president, he resides in Virginia. And so we can do the chartering process via Zoom.
And I wanted to also add in there that we will come out there, or I will come out there to where, if you want to start a chapter out there, and you know, we'll give a presentation. I don't have a problem with that, because Jason's already in California. And then we got Stephen out there in Vegas. So yes, I will come out there.
There's a chapter in Vegas, I believe. And
okay.
I'm the president of the president council, which means that I'm over all 50 chapters. So we meet bi-monthly, and we just discuss the different things that are going on within their area pertaining to the criminal justice system. We're having a national conference in July, I believe July 17th through the 24th, and it will be in Houston. So every year is held somewhere, a different state. So if you're interested, you can go to NABCJ.org, and then you receive a lot of information there, and you can receive information about the conference and as well as how to get a chapter started.
Thank you, sis. I appreciate that. So yeah, that's one of the things we want to do to get all of our Black attorneys, our Black law enforcement, especially like Doc was saying that was on there. He's a wealth of knowledge. I mean, and he's retired. That's who we're looking for. And we especially want them to look like us, because we know now what they do when they look like them. They'll put it right in your face and say, I'm going to defy the law. I don't give a damn. Now you either hold me to the law and enforce it, or I'm going to just, you know, obstruct the law. So we're going to hold them to the fire. I can say that honestly, during the time that we have started to move this, my company here in Texas and throughout, we have a schedule of events that we have put together. So I want to be able to share that too with you, Rasiki, so that you can make sure that our friends here get it. So wherever we are, you're always invited to be there. Our theme this year, we're going to piggyback off of what they've already started, is hands off. So of course, we're going to say hands off our children, hands off of our women, hands off of, you know, trafficking. So those campaigns are going to be around the state of Texas. We're going to go all throughout the state of Texas with that, promoting it. We have our Women's History, our Women's Veterans Month coming up is June. So we'll have something for that as well. We need you all to be at all of our veteran events if you can. We want you all to show support for us in that respect, because once we're out there and promoting Shield of Valor, the heroes within Shield of Valor, as I told you, Rasika, you've got Robert E. Lee's relative sitting right there, Jason Lisbon. Then you've got the Pettus Bridge, you know, the relative of that is Stephen Pettus. That's his, you know, that's his ancestor. So then you got all of that is going to tie into us getting the attention of our children and getting them educated. We have to do that too, while we are getting them out of this traumatic place of inhumanity, because we got to educate them. Once we get them, we got to educate them, and we're going to need you all for that. So right now, I want to say thank you all for listening tonight. We need more of these podcasts. We want to come to your cities, your counties, educate the school systems, let them know it's real out there, and they'll take your child in a minute. They'll take you before you know it. We tell them, like we spoke last night in Tyler at LaRonda Hamilton's Chamber of Commerce for NAACP. We spoke last night on panel, and that's things they didn't know, you know, the things to look for on your door handle, what women should be aware of, you men, what you should be aware of, the bans, the things like that. Those are safety issues that's very common these days, but are not known in our community. So to keep us safe and to keep us alive, we need to spread this information in our community. And I just want to say, we support you, so please support us. And that's how we stand together as a family and as people. Thank you.
And I appreciate everything that you're doing. And this was very informative this evening. And let me see, Professor Ross still here? No, he's not. So next week, we have, well, tomorrow, I don't know if anybody on here is a Roots Reggae fan, but I'm a super Roots Reggae fan. So we have a podcast series called Roots Reggae Reasoning Sessions. Uh-huh. And we're having a group of individuals that was a part of a historical concert in Long Beach, California, at Long Beach State. And it was in 1983. We have 82 here, but it was actually in 1983. And they will be on tomorrow talking about the historical event. I think the artist there was Eka Miles, Freddie McGregor, and Marcia Griffiths. Marcia Griffiths is one of the I3s from Bob Marley and the Wailers Band.
Oh.
When they were. So yeah, it was a historical event, and we're going to be discussing that. So that's tomorrow evening. And if you're interested, just how you came on the show this evening, that's how you come on the show tomorrow. And then next Wednesday, we have Brother Asa Allah coming back. He's a food nutritional researcher. And the topic is, basically, it's the whole. So the W-H-O-L-E, the whole. So he's going to be talking about, and that's health related. So that's who we have next Wednesday. On Tuesday, we supposed to have a doctor. I have the information, but I was expecting Professor Rod to still be here, but he had to do something and he left. But on Tuesday, we're going to have a guy that owns farmland out here. And I don't know if it's in the county of Los Angeles, but it's near Los Angeles, and he's also a doctor, a podiatrist. So he's going to be the guest on Tuesday on Conscious Corner, Professor Amin Ross Show. So that's what we have going on tomorrow and next week. So I appreciate everyone coming out this evening. The people who's going to stay, please stay. And what I want to say is, Each One Teach One in Conscious Corner. We're going to take our pause. Thank you.